of that book. But before we get to that, I got one other verse I wanted to share with you real quick. It comes out of the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, and it's in verses 14 and 15. And the reason that it kind of stands out to me is because we've been talking a lot about persecution of the church, Christians being persecuted, all the stuff that we're going to see in these last days, things that we're going to have to deal with. And hopefully, we're getting persecuted right now, right? Hopefully, we're getting persecuted right now, because that means we're living godly. But there's a scripture here. Peter was warning and kind of talking about what was coming, and he was dealing a little bit with yielding our entire life to Christ, and then he was going to go into talking about the suffering of Christ and what he went through. But in 1 Peter 3:14, he says, "But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear." Okay, the whole thing was he was going on saying, don't get caught up. If you're getting persecuted, it means you're doing something right. But he said, rather than being afraid or, being afraid of their terror, it said, or he said, but that literally means threats. Okay, so if people are kind of, getting on you about, you know what, you need to not believe that way, or you need to believe the way that I do, or, I was going to maybe get in on this later on, but maybe I'll do it right now. Some of the stuff that's going on in our country right now, there's a whole thing that happened this week, right? There's a trial that took place, and the jury came out, and whether you believe he was fully guilty on all three counts, which is what they came out with, or not, there's a lot of things that I saw that stirred up a lot of questions about whether all three was appropriate, or two out of the three, or one out of three, or none, whatever. But the whole thing is that jury, everything that I've seen about it, is they were so intimidated that they were basically yielded to those threats and willing to, all vote unanimously that, yep, all three, guilty on all three, because they didn't want to see the whole country burn down, okay? Or as some of the jurors, it sounded like they had blood smeared on their doors, they had, physical intimidation and threats and things that were going on. Margie and I talked about that, what if we were on that jury? And what if we really believed, based on the evidence, we saw things that we thought, this just isn't right. There's reasonable doubt here. I cannot go along with that. What if you were the only one in that jury, or the only one or two in that jury, okay, and you had to take your stand, okay, would you be strong enough to do that? Apparently, where all those people were, maybe based on the evidence, they all thought, yep, he's guilty in all three, but it's quite probable that some of them gave in to the pressure, at least one or two out of those 12, probably at least gave in to that pressure and said, I just don't want to, they're already threatening my family, it's already too much. If I'm the only one that holds out and I keep saying no, 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 I'm going to be the one that gets targeted, and so they gave in to it. So the reason I say that is just to use that as an example of what you're going to have to be ready to deal with in the last days. Okay, and we're studying Revelation. That's why it comes up. Not just willing to go against the grain because they're threatening your family or all those things, but willing to say, I stand with Jesus Christ all the way to the end. And no, I will not bow down to your system or your way of, trying to dictate, the control. Where you're going to have to make that decision on how am I going to respond? Am I going to just go along with it? Okay, there's a mark. We're going to talk about the mark of the big beast next week, I believe. We'll get to that. But are you going to go along with it and just say, well, I need to do this, otherwise my family can't eat? Or are you going to stand with Jesus at that moment? Okay, and stand. And that's what I'm saying. With some of the guys on those jury, they probably went against their own conscience. They probably went against what they truly believe, just for the sake of, I better just do this. And we're going to get that moment in our life, and many, it's starting right now that we're getting those moments where we can take our stand and say, no, I'm ready to stand with Jesus and with God. And what is, I'm jumping ahead now into Revelation, but the system and the stuff that is going to be poured out upon Christians and upon the church to try to get us to turn from our ways is going to be almost overwhelming. And the only way to avoid it is not being caught up in it. Not being caught up in the world system and the way that the whole world thinks and what is important and what's not, and being caught up in the Spirit. Okay? And the Apostle Paul, this is the same message he's been given, the same message Peter gave and John gave and all these guys from the very beginning. They said, you need to be listening to the Holy Spirit and not the way of the world. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Okay, Paul said that. And some other places where it says, be ye holy, for I am holy. We're supposed to come out and be different, be separate. And part of that means that we live in and abide by the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, so that's important to keep in mind, especially when you're going through Revelation, because you think, oh my God, I'll never make it. There's so much persecution. And so that stuff that could potentially happen may happen. But if we're walking by the Spirit and according to the Spirit of God, we are going to know what's going on as it is happening and even ahead of time. Okay, so let's stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. That's the message, all that. Praise God. Let's pray as we get into Revelation. God, we are grateful to be here with you, to be walking in your Spirit, Father, to be listening to you, to be acknowledging you in all of our ways, in every area of our life, Lord, that all of our personal relationships, all our church family relationships, all of our financial decisions, all of our health decisions, everything that we're doing, Lord, we pray that we listen and hear what you and your Spirit are saying unto us, that we abide by you and live according to you and your ways. As you live inside of us, you'll give us the go-ahead. You'll give us the stop when we need it. But we need to be able to hear and to listen and to acknowledge and then to obey your voice. And Father, I pray for that. As we go through this book, Lord, give us insight into it. Help us see things deeper, more, have a better understanding to know what is happening and why it is happening, and to be able to know exactly what to do and when to do it. Thank you for your Holy Spirit working in and through our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So that's kind of a lead-in. But we're in Revelation chapter 12. We're about halfway through that chapter. Okay, we didn't get through it all. We're going to finish out that chapter. It's only, I think, 4 verses tonight, but there's a lot of good stuff in it. Last week, we talked about the war that was taking place between Michael the archangel and the holy angels of God, and what it said earlier in the book of Revelation, or earlier in chapter 12, it called him the great dragon. This is the enemy that Michael was fighting against. The great dragon, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, or also known as Satan. The accuser of the brethren comes out full force at the offspring of the woman, okay, which we had read about last week. She was described that they that fought against, or as the enemy came against them, that they, being the Christians, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And that said, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Okay, in other words, even though they may have been killed during some of that time, they were still an adamant believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, even at their departure from this earth. Okay, all the way to the end. Never gave in. Okay, as they left the earthly realm, they were still a Christ-following, Christ-believing, Christ-obeying believer. Okay, well, this week we're going to look at, that's more of the war on heaven that started, and now we're going to look at the war on earth. Okay, so let's read a few verses in Revelation chapter 12. Now, before we get into it, kind of the backflash or flashback, I'm not sure which way to say that, but the flashback here is that the devil has been cast to the earth for attempting to exalt himself above God. He was considered to be a worship leader in heaven and tried to rise up above God himself, and God basically kicked him out of heaven. And as he left, he swooped his tail, the Bible says, and took about a third of the angels with him, who then became his demonic army on the earth. Okay, that's where demons came from. Okay, so as he gets thrown, cast to the earth. So that's where we pick it up in Revelation 12, starting in verse 13. It says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the male child, or the man child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Guess who that is? So now, the battle's on, right? We're going to see an intensification of the evil workings and the demonic activities as the age progresses. Okay, and our adversary knows that his time is growing shorter and shorter. That's why he begins to pull out all the stops, saying, I got to do whatever it takes. The dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, and at that moment, he fixated on persecuting the woman, okay, which is also known as the witnessing church, or the people of God. That's who the woman represents. Okay, so he fixates on, I'm going to persecute the people of God. Okay, now the Apostle Paul couldn't have probably said it much better when he said that all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay, the devil doesn't like us. You haven't figured that out. Okay, and for thousands of years, he has attempted through persecution to silence the church. Okay, he does not want the church to witness, to explain Jesus, to tell people, to lead people to him. Now, I have seen that the devil is willing, though, at times, to not be so hard on certain people, okay, on certain Christians. Okay, and those that are living quietly, sort of in obscurity, I put it, he doesn't pick on them so much as long as they're not living a godly life. Okay, they're not sharing Christ or glorifying or expanding the kingdom of God. And as such, they end up not being a threat to his destructive plans. In his mind, he has won with that person. They are backslidden. They are carnal. They are living with one foot in the world, one foot in the church, or they're basically living in complacency. If you recall, when we studied earlier in the book of Revelation, the first couple chapters, Jesus addressed the churches. Okay, and as part of that, you might remember that the churches that we read about that he rebuked the hardest were the ones that were in that state of complacency. They were lukewarm. Okay, the lukewarm church was said to be spewed out of the mouth of the Lord, like you might do if you took a big swig of sour milk. Anybody done that or something like that? When I was a kid, I think I've told this story before, but I don't do it anymore. But me and some guys used to chew tobacco, okay? And you'd take your pop bottle or your beer can or whatever it was, and you would spit into those, okay? And on occasion, at night especially, you would grab the wrong can and take a swig, okay? And so you would get yours or somebody else's chew, okay? That's a time when, okay, I'm making the point that that's what it was like, or what it would be like to spew out of your mouth. It's like something gave a horrible taste. Something's not right. That's what Jesus did, and how he talked about or referred to that lukewarm church. Okay, now a Christian who lives in continual ungodliness. I'm not talking about just occasional trip or fall, but to live in sin and to know it and to go on with it. Okay, it is not only going to be a miserable state, because a backslidden Christian is one of the most miserable people on the face of the earth. They know better, and it eats away at them day after day after day. But they also are more apt to be used by the devil to lead people away from God's kingdom. Okay, now the reason I say that is because everybody, from somebody following Buddha to, you know, an atheist to, you know, a born-again Christian, or everybody, all these different areas of, or categories of people, whatever you want to call them, everybody knows that Christians are called to live a holy life. They know that about Christianity. We're the goody two-shoes. We're the, you know, the holy rollers. We're the whatever. You know, we're supposed to be living it out. So hypocrisy is very easy to spot in Christianity. There are other religions out there, and it would be difficult to know if they were abiding by what they were being taught or not. Christians, it's pretty obvious, okay? If somebody is being hateful, spiteful, or somebody's living in sin or doing different things, people can look at them and instantly know, I'm sure that that's not right. I'm sure that they're living in hypocrisy, okay? Now, that is something that is why I say that that lukewarm state gets to be pretty dangerous pretty quick, because the devil can use that against the kingdom instead of using it for the kingdom. Okay, you know, it's not putting anybody down on that. I mean, the guy that led me to Christ was living in continual sin as well, but he still was willing to share Christ with me. Thank God that he did. But at the same time, it began for me as a young believer to even look at him saying, wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to live this way, and yet you're doing this. Even as a young believer, I could look and see the hypocrisy, and it hurt my walk to a certain extent. Okay, so let's move on. The devil set out to persecute the believers. Okay, that's his goal. And I have a definition of the word persecute. To persecute means to systematically oppress and harass. Now, you ever felt like you've been harassed by the devil? Okay, I'll tell you that just this morning I was out working outside and doing chores and different things, but as I'm doing things started going wrong. Like one thing after another, it's like I dropped a bag of feed and it broke open or something. I did this, kicked something, and it kicked a whole bucket of screws and it landed completely upside down. And then something else happened, and by the third time, I know something's up. And so I instantly stopped and I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get away from me. I am a child of God, covered in favor, surrounded by my shield. God is with me and not with you. I'm with him. And from that moment on, my day got better and everything started going well. Okay, so there is a time when we know that we're just being harassed. Okay, and that's what he does. He persecutes, he harasses, he picks on you. Okay, he's known as what? The accuser of the brethren. So he's going to put things in your mind that make you feel like you're not good enough or all those kind of things. Okay, well, this definition of persecute, to systematically oppress and harass, it includes an intended goal. Okay, he has a purpose. He doesn't just do it for no reason. In other words, the devil has a purpose and a goal why he's harassing you. Okay, we often quote one of John's other writings where he's quoted Jesus as saying, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Okay, and that would be a pretty good summary of the devil's goals and objectives, okay, ways he goes about it, as far as why he persecutes you. Okay, he will steal everything he possibly can from you, up to and including your very life, if you will let him. He will steal your peace. Okay, he'll try to steal your joy. He will come after your finances. He will try to rob you of your security in Christ and being comfortable with God and being able to be confident in approaching him. He will come after your godly relationships. Okay, he may allow you to stay in one that's not godly because he's getting a little credit out of that. But if it's a godly relationship, especially families, we've noticed, especially in our family, your marriage, it's a sanctity of God kind of thing, and he doesn't like that, so he'll come after your family, your relationships, your hope, come after your health, okay, and even your life, like I already mentioned. Okay, he has a goal in mind to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, the very reason that he is so mad, the very reason that he sets out to persecute you is because he has already been defeated. Okay, and not only has he been defeated, but an authority over him has been delegated to you by your Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so you have this power. Remember, the disciples come back. Jesus sent them out, and they come back saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. Okay, it's a reality for the Christian believer. We have a power in us to put the devil and demons in their place. Okay, now a few verses before where we started reading tonight, we read how the saints in heaven rejoiced because, as they said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Okay, it's that moment that was taking place where God's taking things back from the God of this world or from the devil. Okay, now, the devil is relentless in his efforts because he's struggling to try and retain the planet that he's already lost. Okay, have you ever seen that? Somebody is so defeated that they just lash out and do whatever. Okay, that's kind of where he's at, like a, you know, spoiled brat that didn't get what he wants, right? He got taken back. Okay, and now he's just lashing out and being relentless in his effort to try to destroy. Okay, verse 14 that we read said, "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent." Okay, now the woman was swooped away to safety on the two wings of an eagle. Okay, that's what it said. I have a picture of that. Just visual reference, right? Not sure that's exactly how it looked. That reference to the two wings of an eagle and being swooped away on it is a reference to something that God said to his people after he had delivered them from the slavery of the Egyptians, and he was explaining to them the purpose of the covenant that he was making with them at that time. And God said, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." Okay, it was God's way of saying that their deliverance was solely of him. Okay, and that's the same message. Okay, God bare them or protected and sustained them until they were fully delivered from their oppressors to him. Okay, and that is exactly what he does again here for his people. Remember, the woman is the people of God or the witnessing church. God says he swoops her away on eagle's wings to a place of safety. Now, to be nourished in the wilderness for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent is again indicative of that 3.5-year period that we have seen so many times in the book of Revelation. Okay, it's mentioned throughout John's Revelation. I have a slide. Do I have a sound guy back there? Or did he just run up? There it is. Okay, so 3.5 years is mentioned over and over again in different forms. Okay, 5 times in the book of Revelation talks about this. On Revelation 11, talked about trampling the holy city for 42 months. Do the math, it's 3.5 years. Revelation 11:3 said 1,260 days that the prophecy would be with their clothed in sackcloth of the witnesses. In Revelation 12:6, the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. We just read the next one, which is Revelation 12:14. The woman was given the two wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. Okay, now time means 1 year. Okay, so times means 2 years. And half a time means a half a year. Okay, so this equals 3.5 years or 42 months or 1,260 days. Okay, it's a language that they had in that day, and everybody knew when he said time and time and half a time, time and times and half a time, it was a period of 3.5 years. Okay, so it says that she is nourished and protected from the face of the serpent. Now, another word for that word face here is presence. Okay, so that makes it sound like she is more than just spared having to look at him, okay? But rather she is spared from his very presence or from his influence at that time. It is a place of safety. Now, if the woman represents the people of God, we're carried away on eagle's wings until we are delivered from our oppressors, an act of God, we're put into a special place where we are nourished, protected, and taken care of. That's a good place to be, okay? You wonder how Christians can make it? This is why I'm saying I'm going to make it all the way to the end, because I want to be in this group right here, okay? Protected. Okay, now verse 15 and 16 tells us that the devil pulls out all the stops, okay, uses every resource at his disposal to try to reach his destructive goals. In 12:15, it says, "The serpent cast out of his mouth water as of a flood after the woman, so that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth." Okay, now, put on your spiritual ears for a minute, okay? It's going to get kind of deep, okay? And that's not a pun because we're talking about floods of water. but it is about the floods of water, with the woman being the witnessing church, it is pertinent to know what that flood of water represents. Okay, what is coming at us? Okay, a flood is a common Old Testament picture of overwhelming evil. Okay, this is a flood of lies and deceit in an attempt to drown the woman or the church in sin. Okay, it is when things get so bad that people just say, oh, I'm just going to give in and go along. Okay, it is that kind of an overwhelming thing that is happening. This could refer to the river of lies that will threaten Christianity in the last days. Okay, in 2 Thessalonians, Paul said it like this. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, he said, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I'm not saying that these days are today and this is what's happening, but there are some current events that are really lining up right now. And I want to show you, because sometimes we think it's dark and it's getting darker. Okay, and I think I shared on Sunday what my pastor friend said. I love that, that it's dark and getting darker. However, the morning is coming, okay, when all that's going to be exposed. Okay, well, since the woman gave birth to multitudes of offspring, known as the witnessing church, the flood of water coming from the devil probably symbolizes the people of the world, the lost, unregenerate, not born again people. But then it says the earth helps the woman by opening up and swallowing up that flood. Okay, now to come out of the mouth of the dragon means that it is his command to the people who follow him to go forth and to drown out the people of the world. Okay, but what I see happening is that that flood or that is opened up, it is poured out, but it drowns those people as well, okay, or instead. Okay, what is happening is that the world swallows up its own people. It is so, they think they're going to do us damage when they loose this stuff, and yet it comes out and devours them. Okay, I see it as the world system and its influence. All the lies are unleashed to devour the believers, but it's so consuming that it literally takes over those who are trying to unleash it. Okay, now picture a dam, right? A river is dammed up or whatever, and it is deep on one side. There's one we went to in Pier or whatever, you could get on the upper side, which is, you know, way up there or way down on the lower side. Picture you're on the lower side of a dam, and on this side is completely dry ground. Okay, maybe a little trickle coming through, letting some of it through. And Satan barks out, bust the dam open. Crack the dam, blast it open. And his people ignorantly set the bomb, set the dynamite, do their stuff, and blast that dam open from the bottom side. They are completely washed away. What comes out, they think, is they're just following orders, just doing what they're supposed to do, not realizing what they're about to unleash is going to destroy them as well. Okay? You think about some of the things that are going on right now in our country. Things that are, you know, some of this wickedness, it's rooted in division, okay, trying to separate, trying to gain power. Things are running rampant. It's loosing something that will not have a good end for anyone involved. Okay, calling good evil and evil good is ultimately going to destroy everyone involved. Okay, it can't turn out any other way. Okay, and that's the danger of what they're calling wokeism. Okay, that thing where you do what seems good or feels good at the time, at the moment, not realizing that it is going to lead to your own annihilation. Okay, what's happening right now with all this racial tension and division and all these things going on? We're going backwards. Things are not, it seems right on the outside. I just heard today about Amazon. I don't know if anybody heard that. about this training that they're doing for their employees now, and they're making them sign things saying that they acknowledge that they've had white privilege and that you know, that they, if they could do it over, they would change the way that they handled it. Okay, and they have the managers coming and people doing the training that are telling their stories of how they usurped white privilege and how they wish they would have handled it better. Okay, and they're making people sign stuff saying that, you know, I agree to this and I'm not going to do this anymore. Okay, now think about, okay, I better finish that. Here's where that is leading to, that part of their equality and the new 2021 goals is that now they're going to hire, I believe it was 50% black managers and you know, 40% of this and you know, 40% of this, and it's because they need to equal things out. Okay, so now they are hiring based on color, which is, if you know the law, it's against the law to do that. But because it's their equity policy for their goals for the new year, they're able to somehow get away with doing that. That is, it's completely reversing where we've come in the last 50 years. I mean, it was bad, we know, and things have gotten much and much better. You know, Margie and I were talking about the diversity training. I tried to justify this in my mind. Okay, yeah, I remember I got diversity training. I've been in social services and nonprofits for many, many years, and I remember getting diversity training, okay, over the years. And I thought, well, that it's just diversity training. They're just trying to help them, you know. But they're not. It's reverse diversity training. It is saying, now look at people based on their color before you look at their character. Margie reminded me, we were taught it's based on character. You don't see colors when you look at people. You see their character or the kind of person or who they are. And you don't see that stuff. So that's where we kind of started going as a nation, getting to this point, it doesn't matter anymore. Okay, or as much, at least. And as we started going that way, now this is taking it back the other way. Okay, it is going to have a negative end to it. Okay, it's not healthy. It's not going to make things get better. It's going to create more and more division. Okay, now we're going to see next week when we get to it that the dragon, the one that's pouring this flood out, right? The dragon gives power and authority to the beast, who we haven't met yet. And the beast has seven heads, and upon each of their heads is the name blasphemy, or a name of blasphemy. Now, I have a definition of blasphemy. It is irreverent speech that calls what is human divine, what is evil good, and what is good evil. Okay, blasphemy is rooted in pure deception. Okay, it is being so deceived about what is good and what is evil that you're willing to call the opposite and stand on that. Okay, now it might be kind of hard to comprehend, but this is what I'm getting out of this. When the Apostle Paul wrote about the great falling away, he talked about the church and that there's going to be this time come when people are turning away from the faith in masses. He described the immense deception that is going to be prevalent in the last days. And it sure seems like this flood that is being loosed and then the Lord using it to help the church by causing the worldly people to be swallowed up by the world they have created, it all might be providing some insight into how God's people are going to make it through these last days. If all this darkness is loosed and all those people that are going along with it think this is great and wonderful, and yet it consumes them, while the people of God are taken away on God's wings, okay, and brought to a place of safety and sustain, that explains to me how it can get so massively bad so fast. And it's just mind-boggling the last 2 years of what is all happening, how fast things are moving. But it helps me to put my brain around, maybe that's what God is doing. This is part of that where all these masses are drawn away and they're going to be consumed of themselves. Okay, while God's people are drawn to safety. Okay, you know, the dragon spewed out water from its mouth, hoping to drown the woman. Okay, but the earth helped her by opening its mouth and swallowing the river so that the flood could not hurt the woman. Okay, that's what I mean. All this is loosed, and yet it's intended to hurt us, but it doesn't. It just consumes those who have loosed it. Okay, now verse 15 told us that the serpent's goal by loosing the flood against the woman was that he might cause her to be carried away with the flood. Okay, carried away with the evil. So all the evil comes hoping that we will be carried away with it. Okay, his plan is that you will get caught up in the world. You'll get caught up in all the lost, unbelieving, unregenerate ways and thoughts and what's important and all this goofiness. Okay, that you'll get caught up in that to the point that you're swept away from the safety of the kingdom of God. Okay, because he wants to fly us away on eagle's wings. That means higher. Okay, if there's a flood, even if we're on eagle's wings, it's not going to touch us, right? So we want to make sure that we're on those eagle's wings with that, the witnessing church. Now, verse 17 says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Okay, now, wroth, great King James language word. Okay, the devil was wroth with the woman. Okay, or you could say the devil was wroth with the church. Wroth means, I have a definition of that, a passion that is furious and raging with a desire for revenge. Okay, the devil's mad, he got his planet taken away, right? And he's mad. It is so intense a passion that it will only end with an attempt to kill. Okay, it lines right up with the devil's here to steal, kill, and destroy, right? He's after us. Okay, he absolutely hates the Church of Jesus Christ and everyone who's a part of it. But I have good news for you. How the devil feels about you is not what determines your destiny. Okay, so the devil can hate you all he wants. He hates me a lot, I know. He can hate me all he wants because that is not what determines how my life goes and what happens. He's not my master. He's not giving me orders. He's not my instructor. I'm not following his ways. I have a God who I believe and trust, whose spirit lives within me, whom I am obeying and living according to his ways. I will reap the benefits of being a believer, okay? Not the benefits of being an unbeliever. Okay, how he feels about you isn't what determines what happens. God is in this. Okay, and God's got this. God had a plan, okay, and he already put it all in motion. The devil thought that, if you think about it, he thought that he was winning when he had Pontius sentence Jesus to the cross. Okay, the devil thought he just won. Okay, that's exactly what he wanted. He's gleaming. He thinks that's great. Even when Jesus is hanging on the cross, he uses his last three words that he ever said, his last breath, and he says, "It is finished." Okay, and the devil jumps up and down saying, "Yes, it is, I won. But his victory dance is very short-lived because Jesus rises from the dead. Death was his biggest blow that he could come up. He thought that's going to end it all, and it just spawned it. It just made it into what God wanted it to be. Okay, that tells me that God is always one step ahead of the devil. Okay, so just like this, the devil's waiting to devour what comes from the woman and pours out this flood, which is loose to try to sweep away, and none of it happens. Okay, God's eagle swoops in, takes the woman away to safety. Okay, Satan goes to war with the seed of the woman who keeps the commandments of God and who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's me, right? That's you. We ultimately overcome him, we've already learned this, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Okay, we have our faith and our belief in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust that it was sufficient to do what it needed to do. It has made us right with God. And we have our testimony of the word of God, okay, that we abide by, that we know we have, we keep dear to us. And we also have our declaration of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my King. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my everything. Okay, so no matter what happens, when our faith is in Jesus all the way to the end, the devil loses once again. Okay, and that's the victory. That is where it's at. Okay, now he is going to try to get people to turn, to take a mark, to do stuff that goes against God, to fall in with that flood and be swept away and fall into all carnality and demonic activity and to go that direction. But if we refrain from that, we remain holy. Come out from among them, be ye separate. All those verses that are in the Bible, all throughout the New Testament, telling about holy living and letting God do the work in our life, dying to the flesh, living by the Spirit, all that is geared and intended to help get us all the way to the end. Because he wants, God's plan is the victory that comes when we say, no, I stand with Jesus Christ, even if it means I die. That's the victory. And that's what God is teaching us. That's what his word is pointing us to this whole time. Okay, the devil will lose in the end. Next week, we're going to end there tonight, but next week we're going to get into chapter 13, which talks about, gets us to the second part of what I've called the demonic trinity. Okay, there's the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet. And next week we get to hear about the beast that rises up out of the sea. Okay, and then there's the beast rises up out of the earth as well. Okay, or the same, one and the same. It just means that he covers it all. Okay, but we'll get into that next week and go a little deeper with the beast. Figuring out who he is and what he's got going. Amen. Let's pray. Father.